Okay, so before we start, I wanted to make sure I give a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie was on the show last week, as you may remember if you were listening. Hopefully you were, and if you were not, you should definitely go back and check it out. Jeannie joined me in my garage. It was episode 238, and it was all about stress coaching. She was here live. We focused on talking about stress and how it relates specifically to TMS healings. It was really tremendous. I encourage you to go check it out. And Jeannie is a stress and mind body coach in Los Angeles. She came on the podcast back in January and hosted, and we also did our first episode together back in August of 2021. And she was in here in person then too. So I think I was telling her when we started last week that last week was the first in person I think I did since she was here a year prior, which is kind of wild. Jeannie spent 16 plus years battling fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and a myriad of other chronic symptoms that left her physically and mentally exhausted. She healed herself completely, though, and is now obsessed with getting her clients fast results through her one-on-one coaching program. In that program, clients learn how to decrease stress, release stuck negative emotions, and finally heal that chronic pain. Visit www.jeanniekulwin, that's JeannieKulwin.com for instant access for her free recorded confidence-boosting breathwork mini session, or to learn more about her incredible one-on-one coaching program. Welcome back to the podcast. I don't know how long it's been since I've done a solo episode, but it feels like it's been a minute. There were guests the last couple of weeks. I did that motorcycle trip a few weeks ago. I left on the August 3rd, maybe. Got back on the 9th, and I'm going to get into more of that here in a couple of minutes, but I want to make sure that I say thank you to the patrons of the podcast. If you go to patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast, these are people from all over the world that have thrown a few bucks in the tip jar to continue supporting the show, help keeping it available and on the air for free, because I promise you this is not my full-time job. It is a labor of love, so any dollars that you can pass forth are very welcome. So let me give a shout-out to Kirk, Emily, Brent, Paul, Amanda, Elise, Enda, Dominic, Sasha, Sylvie, James, John, Jason, Mindy, Irina, Kelly, Tony, Michael, Christina, Ross, Julie, Brian, Arnie, and of course, Barb. Thank you all so much. Again, if you're interested in contributing, go to patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast. You know what? I'm going to start with the motorcycle trip because that's actually going to lead into today's topic. And today's topic is about your worst fears. I was trying to think of, so one of my favorite movies, my second favorite movie is Point Break, not the 2015 one, but the 1991, I think it was either 91 or 92, but I think it was 91. Patrick Swayze, Keanu Reeves. There's this great quote that Patrick Swayze has where he's talking about basically, fear leads to hesitation, and hesitation leads to your worst fears coming true. And I started thinking about fear and its place in chronic pain and its place in TMS and mind-body work and all this kind of stuff, and how ultimately fear is not only the catalyst, the thing that actually ignites the fire and begins all of these issues, but fear keeps that fire burning. It is like the unnecessary gasoline that keeps it going. I'm going to start with the motorcycle trip, though. So I live in Seattle, the upper northwest, upper Pacific Northwest. I'm about 10 or 12 miles north of Seattle. We left on, this was to be sort of the greatest dual sport or adventure expedition of my life so far. 5 nights with my 2 best friends. We were going to do sections of the Idaho BDR, that means the Idaho Backcountry Discovery Route, meaning it's about usually going to be about 100 miles per day of riding off-road in the backcountry where typically you have no cell service and you're not close to humanity at all, or civilization in Idaho. And then we were going to jump over and do a couple of days in Washington. So first day we ride all the way over to Idaho. It was a nice, beautiful ride, pretty much all freeway, which isn't It's not the most scenic or the best, but you know, everything. I always think, I have this theory, every day is better when you're riding a motorcycle as opposed to what it would be if you weren't riding a motorcycle. So every day that you can be on a bike is a better day than a day that you're not on a bike. That's just my opinion. So day one of the Idaho BDR that we did, we got, gosh, I don't know. We looked at a map and we knew there was going to be a road closure at some part of the trail. So I think we got probably 70 or 75 miles in and we encountered that road closure. There was supposed to be a detour that we could take a different trail to get to this bridge that we were trying to find in the middle of the woods in northern Idaho. And so we take that alternate route and we get up to this part that kind of looks like it could be a road, but kind of looks like maybe it's not a road. And I'm on my comm units with my buddies. So, you know, they're in their helmets. I'm in my helmet, but we can all hear each other. We can all communicate. And I'm leading all of these sections, mostly because I have the GPS. So I'm telling them, okay, this looks like an alternate route on this GPS, but it's not really super clear because the Garmin is a little, it's kind of wonky sometimes. Like if you're really in the back country where maybe trails aren't all that defined, it's sometimes, and also like if you're at a fork in the road, it's kind of unclear whether it's taking you on the right fork or the left fork or if you're going the right way at all. So we get to this area and it's just got these sweeping cliffs. The hardest thing in my opinion to ride on a motorcycle is sand. And so we approach this sand/silt and it kind of looks like the trail. I see tire marks, so I feel like people had to have been on here. So I'm like, okay, we should proceed. And it's like literally riding on ice skates. You know, the bike, you're trying to go forward, but the bike is sort of drifting diagonal and then it drifts diagonal the other way. And the sand is really just taking you where it is that you want to go. The whole trip thus far, the first day and a half, I kept making jokes to my buddies about one of us is going to break a leg on this trip. One of us is going to sustain a massive injury. And I say these things in jest, but a big part of why I say them is that I think if you can confront fear, TMS has taught me a lot. Maybe the biggest thing that it's taught me is that if you can confront fears and be okay with those fears, that really you're about as limitless as it gets. So we're on this path, we're riding in, and then suddenly this black bear just appears. And so I tend to have this real great knack for running into wildlife when I'm just out on a trail or I was walking Lucy, my black lab, last year, and I bent over to pick up her poop and I stood up and I turned around and 6 feet in front of me was a big black bear. Just it made this big breath noise and I was very spooked. I slowly walked backwards probably 100 yards down the trail to get to a home or a cabin where they could give me a ride back up to the cabin that we were staying at. I was about halfway in between. So this big black bear runs up on this motorcycle path that we're on. We get through, it's fine, it's not aggressive, it's probably a younger one based on its size. And we continue riding, and the terrain is just getting rougher and rougher, and we start wondering, like, is this... The whole time as we're going, because it's down a hill, and it's also on silt, so we're using engine braking for a lot of this, but some of it we have to use brakes because of the momentum. And I keep saying to my buddies, I don't know if this is the right path, but and how difficult it is going downhill. You would think that uphill is harder. I actually think it's easier. But we get to essentially the end. We're at the end of a cliff. There's no way down. So we had picked the wrong path. We went about 45 minutes out of the way or so to get down this silt. And the silt was probably, God, it might have been a mile long, 2 miles long. So not really all that much distance. But with all my gear and everything like that, the bike is 500 pounds. And so now we have to turn around, ride this silt going back up. Like I said, I actually think it was much easier riding up than it was riding down. And we run into this construction guy who works for the Forest Service, I think. And he just starts laughing. And I was like, ha, you know, we're lost. Can you tell me a direction where this bridge is that we're trying to find? And he just laughs in my face. He says, we are way off the beaten path. So we get out of the silt. We tried another way, got lost again. And then eventually I just clicked on the Garmin and said, hey, get us to the Airbnb that we were going to go stay at. And it got us to the quickest way. So that day was kind of not a bust. It was beautiful. We get to the Airbnb, we rest. We'll tackle what's coming the next day. So we go the next day it was the most beautiful ride I've ever experienced. It was all off-road, 108 miles, 110 miles, something like that. I did wipe out once, just lost concentration for a minute on the dirt and fell probably going 20 or 25 miles an hour, right on my side, right on my shoulder, totally fine, got up. We continued the ride. Everything was fine. So the trip continues to progress, and it's going great. We get back to Washington eventually, and I'm riding the most difficult terrain that I've ever ridden. So I'm doing these ascents, these rock climbs that are probably not quite 45 degrees in angle, but they're not far off. And there were three really challenging ones in a row. So the first one, I get up, I'm okay. The second one, I ride up it. And again, since I'm the leader of the pack, I have to tell the guys behind me, hey, you should go on the left side of this trail or the center or the right side of this trail based on how smooth that terrain feels. And I'm just guessing because I'm going 25 or 30 miles an hour. Hey, go to the left. Hey, stay in the center. Hey, go to the right. So the second rock climb, bike almost stalls a couple of times, and I got through it and I felt so accomplished, and I'm like, God, I can fucking do anything. So I get to the third one. I pick the center line because it looks like the terrain is not going to shift under me. Cause that's one problem with a lot of sand is, like, you know, you have this fast spinning back tire and this powerful motorcycle underneath you, and the terrain can slip underneath you. So I tell them to take the center line. I take it, I hit a rock that shifts, I hit another rock that shifts, and then I just get bucked off the back of the bike. I mean, literally like riding a horse. And my left leg, which I didn't really notice until the next day, my left leg hits the handlebar as I launch over the bike. And then I hit my head on a pretty big rock on the left side, and I was pretty jolted. Took a couple of minutes to compose myself. Help my buddies figure out the best path up, but we ended up saying that they should take the left instead of the center that I took. The left, I don't know how I didn't see it, because I've looked at pictures of it since. It was pristine terrain, hard packed dirt, perfect, gravel, perfect. If I would have taken the left, I would have been totally fine. So we are on our, we get back on our bikes after kind of settling ourselves, and I noticed that my handlebars are all off kilter. So I had basically just like twisted the front forks on this bike. So my left arm, if you can imagine it holding handlebars, my left arm almost fully extended, my right arm pulled very tight into my torso. And we get just like a couple miles up this road, and I had just asked my buddies, we're 18 miles from finishing. So we did about 100 miles, 18 miles to go. And I just said, hey, like, my head is really hurting. Like, concentration is hard right now. So I asked them if we could stop or like discontinue, get to the highway and just get to our hotel for the night. So we ended up going to a brewery, and I just needed some water. I needed something to eat. I just needed to chill and get off that bike for a few minutes. So I'm trying to enter in the code, like the passcode, to reach my wife, and I entered it. I couldn't see straight. So I'm like trying to enter this code, and it's just not working. Locks my iPhone for 20 minutes. So I can't tell her that I'm okay. My bike is kind of all jacked. I grab my buddy Josh's phone, and I'm watching videos of how to straighten out these forks, which has subsequently worked. It seems like it's 98% okay. It looks a little diagonal to me, but it could just be an optical illusion because it's riding just fine. It doesn't seem like anything's off. So everything's probably fine. It's just an optical illusion, whatever. But, you know, we finished the trip, and my wife had said that she wanted me to go to an urgent care where we were. And the brewmaster, the guy that was at the brewery, kind of laughs and he says, like, hey, like, the closest medical center is 50 miles away. So it was either take the freeway and ride 50 miles when I don't really feel all that good to go and do whatever they would do at an urgent care or an ER or whatever, or just go to the hotel and chill out, watch a baseball game, relax with your buddies. So I picked the latter, which I think was a good move. I felt pretty good the next day. The next day we were going to go home. It was going to be like 6 hours, 6 hours of riding back home. But the next day when I started work, I was having like clients ask me questions, and I just couldn't form an intelligent sentence. So I did end up going to urgent care, and they did a CT scan. I ended up passing that with flying colors. They did say that I had a concussion, which I never lost consciousness, but it was a concussion is what they said based on what I was telling them. But, you know, all I kept imagining with myself was my brain healing. That's all I was imagining. Like, whatever happens, it'll be okay. And I've talked about this before in the podcast, but in the past, if I would have an instance like this or something happen where there was some kind of a physical injury involved, automatically I just went to the worst case scenario. I would go to post-concussion syndrome, or I would go to cognitive issues or memory issues or whatever. I've said before that it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. I was a pro wrestling fan for a long time, have been a pro wrestling fan for a long time. I already bought my WrestleMania tickets for Los Angeles in April, and I will be there. I couldn't be more excited. I haven't gone to a live WrestleMania since 2018 in New Orleans, and so it's pretty exciting to be able to go back to Los Angeles in my home state of California and go see another big show. But a lot of wrestlers would have neck injuries or head injuries or concussion issues, have to retire because of this. So several years ago, I think that things like that would like creep into my consciousness overall, and it could have really taken me for the ride. And instead, I said, I'm not going to be taken for the ride. And by Friday, so 5 days later, I was fine. Wasn't having the cognitive issues or the forgetfulness or whatever. I was fine. So anticipated that I would be fine, and I was fine. And I think that's great. There is another sponsor to the podcast this week. Rebecca Tolan, you may have remembered her. She came on the podcast a while ago, episode 157. I want to give a shout out to Rebecca Tolan, Mind Body Coaching. Rebecca was on episode 157, like I said. Happiness doesn't come from the outside. She experienced a really dramatic recovery from 13 years of chronic fatigue syndrome through a mind-body approach. Her new Be Your Own Medicine course has the best of everything she's learned from helping clients overcome chronic fatigue syndrome, long COVID, chronic fatigue, chronic pain, brain fog, and other TMS symptoms. Be Your Own Medicine is a live 8-week class that lays out a systematic process on how to recover. Registration is open until September 20th. To learn more, and I encourage you to do so, go to Rebecca's website at rebeccatolan.com/course. Again, that's Rebecca Tolan, rebeccatolin.com/course to learn more. Okay, so I said that today's episode was going to be mainly about fears, and I was talking about those fears a couple of minutes ago with the motorcycle trip, right? Matt, Josh, one of us is going to break our leg, right? I kept joking about these injuries happening, and then I wipe out on my bike. I have this deep embedded bruise in my left leg, and I have a concussion, and you know, whatever it is, what it is. But again, I was able to face that. And if I did break my leg or I did sustain a more serious injury, I had come to terms with being okay with it. And I was thinking about this last week, that back in 2016, so I've talked about this before. There's a great app on the iPhone. I think it's actually probably on all phones, but it's called Time Hop. And what Time Hop is and what it allows you to do is to look at what you posted on social media or any pictures that you took on this particular day 1 year ago, 2 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever. This morning when I was looking at mine, I had a picture from 2016, so that would have been 6 years ago, on this day where I had a big ice pack on my knee, and I had remembered that I started having severe knee pain. I flipped to the next page, and on this day, 6 years ago, 2016, I had been cleared by my physical therapist. I walked in for my PT appointment after my shoulder surgery, and he said, there's no further place that I can take you with PT. And then I was thinking about yesterday's time hop from 6 years ago, where I had just wrote this long thing about how I had professionally one of the worst days I can ever remember. And boom, I woke up the next day and I had knee pain. So to me, the worst fear in the world, and I couldn't come to grips with it. I couldn't even think about it. I've heard Arlene Feinblatt say this in All the Rage. Feelings are all we're talking about. When you're intolerant of a feeling, it's controlling you. You're not controlling it. you're trying to not think about something. And all that energy and all that avoidance is really what's causing your symptoms and your pain. So like I said, this was back in 2016. I had a really bad professional day. I hadn't missed quota for a year going back to my college days. So since 2008, I had made quota in whatever capacity of job I was doing. Here we are 8 years later. I was being heavily threatened with that streak going away. And I could not fathom. I could not imagine that happening to me. That was the worst fear that I can recall. That was the worst fear that I could ever imagine happening, was that. I wouldn't even allow myself to think about it. So all that avoidance, right? So I have that terrible day professionally, lose this big deal, lose a big contract, lose a big client, wake up the next day with knee pain. Then I go and see my PT. He tells me that he's taken me as far as I can get, as far as rehab goes for this shoulder. And that's kind of it. So sort of this intersection of having this really terrible day, terrible client, terrible interaction, but getting cleared for all medical activity, getting cleared for all activity from my PT, but then also encountering this severe knee pain, which was a direct response. There was nothing that I did that would have caused that. I just woke up with it. And back then, the response when I would have heavy knee pain would be to go to the doctor. So I was given some painkillers and some, what are they called? Anti-inflammatories, and told to just rest my knee for a couple of weeks or whatever. Like there's just a lot of balls in the air at this time. I remember this August and September timeframe so well from that year, 2016, because it was when the doors really fell off. It was that first week of September of that year where I really was having terrible symptoms of all different kinds that really started swelling up. Because again, it was the last month of a quarter with work, and I was very much in danger of missing all the goals that I had ever made. So I had this thought, and here's something that I want you to do. I've talked about making lists before on this show, but it's largely been around lists that you could write down of all the things that make you angry, make you sad, make you tick, make you whatever, and then writing about those. So these are events typically that have happened. What I would think for you to do if you have felt stuck is creating a list of thinking about the worst possible things that could happen to you or that you could experience. Because if you can come to terms with those and actually see them in front of you, and again, you're imagining these worst possible scenarios or worst possible things, but you're allowing yourself the space to think about them, address them, and more importantly, feel the visceral feeling inside of you that if that thing happens to you, all you need to do is to just feel it. If this thing happens to you, like, let me give you a good example. I had a relapse about a year and a half ago where I had lifted a barbell and my lower back had hurt so bad I couldn't even move my legs. I hit the ground and I army crawled to my buddy Brad Gutting and told him what was going on. And I had no fear about the future. I knew that this was just bullshit TMS and that I would be fine, and that's all that there was to it. So I didn't have to worry about the fear. I didn't have the fear. So when I relapsed earlier this year with a back problem, I started getting those fears in my head of, gosh, what if you can't lift weights? And what if you're not as strong? And what if you're deteriorating? No. We can't think about not deteriorate. Like, we can't think about deteriorating. That does not fit the mold of how you see yourself, right? So I kept having this conflict versus this sureness that I had the year before. And I think that that's what led really to the length of time that the symptoms persisted. So your list can be a lot of things. It could be losing your job. It could be going into poverty. It could be being attacked while you're out on a walk. It could be being robbed or mugged or assaulted or whatever the case is. Just putting those things down and not denying the ability to even give those things a thought, or more importantly, to feel them. What would you feel if those things happened? Because being able to address that or being able to think about those worst fears is a really valuable skill. Being able to actually get real with yourself and come to terms that these things could happen, and if they happen, I'll deal with it. I was on Nicole Sachs's podcast a few months ago, and I'd been talking about how my entire family had gotten COVID and I did not get COVID. And I remember that I told her that my whole take on that period of time was that if the whole family gets COVID and us, and we have longstanding issues, or somebody dies or whatever, like, awful. absolutely awful. But there's nothing really that we can do other than to just deal with it. I'm not afraid of it. And I never got COVID and my whole family was okay. So that's the kind of place that I want you to put yourself in, is imagining and writing down some of the worst fears and worst things that you can possibly imagine. I'm going to call this episode the 50-year storm, just because Bodhi from Point Break was talking about fear leads to hesitation and hesitation will lead to your worst fears coming true. So I think that's important. Have a great rest of the week, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in.